Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano, Martin Kilcoyne. Lakeside Roofing, established in 72, solid rep for excellence in the roofing industry. Their philosophy is focused around a relentless commitment to customer service, quality products, and outstanding workmanship. In Illinois, call 618-344-2800. In Missouri, call 314-241-5253. I used to refer to him as a young Bill James. I'm not certain if Matthew Leach is still young, but he's still brilliant. He's one of my all-time favorites. He's with MLB.com, based out of Georgia now. Matthew, great to hear your voice. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Good to talk to you guys. How are you guys?
Frank, he's also the only Harvard guy I know that was an avid NASCAR fan.
That's right.
That I know of.
True. I contain multitudes, Martin.
Have you been keeping an eye on the Cardinals much from afar? And what are your impressions of the team you used to cover religiously?
Yeah, I mean, they are really one of the more interesting teams. I mean, it's hard to keep too close tabs on any one team because my primary gig is National League editor. So I've got, 13 contending teams to keep an eye on. But obviously I watch, if it's a tie, the tiebreaker is I'll probably watch the Cardinals because I, still like hearing the familiar voices and all of that. And it's a weird team. I mean, the bullpen has been quietly excellent. The rotation has probably been a little less than you would hope, though. You look at the performance, you look at the actual numbers, and it's okay. It's good enough, theoretically. And it just feels like it kind of misread some guys offensively. Look, part of it is doing without Ozuna is big. And I know he's hitting 250, whatever it is, but that guy's a really big part of the offense. And if he gets going now that he's back, that'll make a big difference. But, I think that they thought they'd get more out of some of these guys than they did. I mean, I think you make the I know it wasn't a massive add in years, but you make the commitment to Carpenter that they did. I think that's an indication they thought they were going to get more out of Carpenter this year. And things like that where, they just – just don't think this offense has been what they thought it would be, and that's a tough thing to overcome in a season where if you're not hitting, you're not winning.
I think weird team is a fair analysis of it, and also just a general lack of star power. Not necessarily familiar names. Dexter Fowler's a familiar name. Goldschmidt has been a star, and he's had moments this year, but I think if you just look at the rosters up and down, isn't it simple that Chicago has a better roster? Now, they've left the door open this year for you to win the division because they haven't played well, but isn't it widely regarded, if you just looked up and down, the Cubs are a better team?
I think that's fair. I don't think it's a huge gap. But I think you kind of get at the key to me, if I'm boiling this down to one thing as to why this isn't going better. And let's remember, they're still right in this. I mean, I think that, one of the advantages that I have sort of being afar and watching a whole bunch of different teams and kind of watching the ups and downs of everybody is that, I'm a little less inclined to sort of have that sky is falling vibe that I kind of get that impression from the people I still follow on Twitter and the people I talk to and all that. They're still very much in this, and one good week, and they're leading the wild card again, if not leading the division again. So I do think it's important to remember that. But I think when you talked about star power, I think you kind of hit on, if I'm boiling it down to one thing as to why this team isn't quite as good as I think I and a lot of people thought, it's at that top end of the offense, either through health or just through not being as effective as people hoped, has not done what they thought they'd do. You look at, and they were talking about this on the Dodger broadcast last night. It was the MLB Network game, and so they had the Dodger broadcast, and those guys are excellent anyway. And they were talking about how you look at the names and you think, man, I wouldn't want to pitch to those guys, and they haven't quite been that. You look at Goldschmidt, you look at Ozuna. To some extent, Jose Martinez, there are names in the heart of that order, even Carpenter, that you expect to do more than they have. And I generally am opposed to blame the stars. I think that's usually a mistaken way to analyze a team. But I think it's fair in this case to say if those guys, if that core of the lineup, those guys hitting in those two, three, four, five kind of spots were hitting the way they thought that they would and the way I think most of us thought they would, even if outside observers may have been a little more conservative, the season would look a lot different.
What about the manager? I think the best way to judge a manager, are you overachieving with your talent? Are you underachieving with your talent? The Cardinals seem like, with this personnel, that's about what they should be. No less, no more. They should be a few games over 500. What are your impressions of Mike Schilt?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I don't think anything really stands out one way or the other. I don't think he's an exceptional tactician. I don't think he's a disastrous tactician. He seems to have the respect of the guys in the room. He's, I think, the kind of manager where when a team gets hot, everybody talks about how together they are and the manager gets credit. I think there's a little bit of a parallel to the guy we have here. I mean, I'm 70 miles from Atlanta, but I still say here. A little bit of a parallel to a guy like Brian Snitker, a guy who's clearly got respect in the room, a guy who I don't think is going to add or take anything away from the table tactically. He's fine. I don't think he's pushing them towards anything. I don't think he's keeping them from anything. And it does seem that he's sort of on the same page with the front office. I don't want to be dismissive, but he's fine. He's a manager.
Who are the biggest disappointments? If you look at the National League, and we'll just stay in that league, and it is your area of expertise, as you pointed out, but the Phillies were big players in the offseason. The Nats, historically, they lost Bryce Harper, but they've always had a pretty good roster. And then the Brewers were, a couple of runs away from going to the World Series. If you look at it now, because the Cardinals have sort of done what they've been doing the last few years, and that's the frustration here, is it's sort of treading water. But if you look around,
yes.
Who do you like? What fan base should be upset? Who is a letdown?
Well, I mean, the team that I was highest on, the team that I honestly thought might have been the best team in the NL coming into the year, was Washington. And they've been really good for about, 2.5 months now. They've kind of looked like the team I expected. But, that was the team I liked the best. Just look at their rotation. I didn't think they'd have a dominant bullpen. I thought it'd be a lot better than it was. I liked the lineup. I liked what it looked like they'd be defensively. They could still, I think as of right now, they're in playoff position. But that's, again, kind of getting back to it. One of the weird things about the NL is that, it's all bunched so close together. So I think we sort of, with the exception of like the Dodgers and the Marlins, I think in sort of common conversation, people overstate, the difference between, the Cubs and the D-backs. You look at the just performance. Those teams are way closer than the perception. So, maybe the Pirates a little bit. I thought they'd be decent. I wasn't as high on the Reds as some people are. I think that there is a lot of disappointment in Cincinnati, and I understand it. They're weird because they've underperformed their run differential. They should have more wins than they do. But I don't know that anybody has wildly missed in the NL what you thought, what a reasonable expectation would have been. I was higher on Washington than most, and they have not been great. But who's to say they don't finish up with 92 wins and make a run in October?
How would you solve, or what solution is there to the Matt Carpenter saga here in St. Louis with that contract extension and with him hovering in that 210 mark and not a great defender? What do you see here?
It's a real tough spot. And I mean, I honestly don't know what you do. And that, really gets into, honestly, the baseball answer is the guy should play less because he's, as you note, limited enough at third base and is not as good a hitter, even though the guy they signed to play first base is not what everybody hoped necessarily. He's still not as good as that guy. I mean, and that's where that gets into a real challenge because, you guys know me. I tend not to be a big soft factors guy, but I also know that Matt Carpenter is a big part of that clubhouse. And if you diminish his role, that gets real tricky in the clubhouse. So I think you have to subtly diminish his role, find as many ways to maximize him as possible, and even maybe get into your sort of you know, even get a little extra geeky in putting it out. I don't think that the front office is going to dictate to the manager, nor should they. But if I'm the manager, I'm like, tell me some situations where I can minimize the defensive struggles. Are there pitchers where we hurt less with him defensively than others? You know, what are the kinds of pitchers, not just right-handers, but what are the kinds of pitchers where he's more likely to succeed? You kind of trying to find those ways, and you kind of, to me, try to find the best 70 to 80 to 90 plate appearances a month. Because again, I just don't think you're going to turn that guy into a 300 plate appearance guy right now, just drastically. So I just think you kind of really have to find the best ways to maximize what he does have to offer and go from there. Because again, I don't think there's a real clean solution to be had.
Matthew Leach, MLB.com, 5-9 to the Fan with Frank and Martin. I'm looking at the Dodgers, and boy, they're good every year. They're really good this year. But they haven't won since 88, and that's a town, of course, that loves its championships. But you never hear any sort of, like, curse of the Dodgers, or there's no stigma attached to them. It's funny because they haven't been able to break through. Is this the year, and do you see any holes with them?
So, yeah, there's a lot there, and I'm fascinated by the Dodgers. I watch them a lot. I love the broadcast team. My dad's a Dodger fan. They're fun to watch, so I watch them a lot. You know, I think part of why they don't get more heat, and this is something that I think will resonate in St. Louis. Remember in 04 what a huge deal it was getting back to the World Series. In St. Louis, much like in L.A., I mean, yes, they expect championships, but, you know, I think what they really believe is we are royalty in the National League, and if we are ruling the National League, then, you know, that's – pretty satisfying. So I think the fact that they are getting to the World Series is it's no longer enough. They clearly want to win it all, but I think part of why they don't, there's not more heat, especially in market, is that their feeling is they're National League royalty. They're currently ruling the National League. It's not enough, but it's pretty good. So I think that's the answer to the first part. You know, is this the year? You know, I mean, one is my cop-out answer that I think Frank in particular has been listening to me give for 17 years now. None of us has any idea what's going to happen in October. You know, I came across something I noted a few years back, which is that you go back to, I think it's 2013, and the Tigers trotted out Scherzer, Verlander, and Price as their 1-2-3, and they got swept by an Orioles team that started Bud Norris, Wei-Yin Chen, and Chris Tillman. So we don't know anything. With that said, they're pretty clearly the favorites in the National League. You know, I like them head-to-head against any of the teams that would go out against them. I think the team that would scare the most would be Washington because of that front of the rotation, because they have one really good lefty. I think that, you know, I don't know really who has the lefties to quiet them. But they had to be more bothered than nearly anybody about the Astros going out and getting Zach Greinke. The Astros just became a much more formidable October opponent with that addition to their rotation. So I think the Dodgers are a pretty significant favorite in the National League. But, you know, does that mean 60% to win the league? I don't think so. You know, I just think postseason baseball is so weird that a favorite is, out of four teams, 35-40%. Weird things happen. I would take them over any other team in the National League, but I wouldn't take them over every other team in the National League. I would take them if you made me pick one team. I would not take them over the field. And I know that's unpopular, probably, but that's kind of how I look at it. And as for a weakness, it's the bullpen. They got to get the ball to Jansen.
Final couple of thoughts for Matthew Leach from MLB.com. If you were to ask this question, if you were starting a franchise and you could have one player for the next 10 years, over the last 3 or 4 years, the answer was always Mike Trout. Now, Mike Trout just turned 28. I'm wondering, as great as he is, if you're talking about one franchise player in Major League Baseball for the next 10 years, and with this avalanche of incredible young stars, I know you sometimes think out of the box. Give us a couple of names that you would actually consider for this list.
I mean, I love Juan Soto. I love watching that guy hit. He's incredible. You know, he has such an idea at the plate. He is so advanced. He has gone from a bad outfielder to an adequate outfielder. I don't know if this, you know, again, this is not something where I think you overthink it too much. Trout's obviously in that conversation. Ronald Acuña Jr. is in that conversation, though I kind of want to see the plate discipline come around a little more, but he's a really special player. You know, Cody Bellinger's been around a while, but he's young. I mean, there's a pretty good chance to me that Cody Bellinger is the answer, even ahead of Yelich, even though Yelich, I think, probably is a favorite to win the MVP again. The things about Bellinger that really stand out to me, he's younger than Yelich. He's insanely fast. He absolutely could play center field. They've got enough pieces that they're trying to make put together that he doesn't. But he has that combination. He has all the tools that anybody in baseball has. Power. He's clearly got the hit tool. He's hitting for average this year. He's a batting title contender. He's got a really good eye. He's insanely fast. He's one of the like five fastest players in the game. He's got a really good arm. And so it's not just a performance, but you look at that and you say, even if some of those tools decline a little bit, the skills are so good that that's a special player. So, you know, it would be hard for me not to say Trout because he's so clearly the best player on the planet. But I think the next guy, I don't get too cute, and I think I said Bellinger.
Good stuff. Matthew, thanks so much for your time. We'll talk down the road. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. It's always fun. Thanks for having me on.
You know, that Juan Soto answer is really good, too, because he's 20 years old and he's headed for 100 walks. You know, sometimes you see these free swingers at a young age, or, you know, they don't have plate discipline. To be that young, to have that kind of discipline.
Sign me up for Ronald Acuña Jr., though. He's just my favorite player to watch. Not only is on my fantasy team, but he just, the way he just plays, I absolutely love. And I think he's only about 20 or 21 years old.
It's crazy.
Just unbelievable.
And if you look at the Cardinals' schedule, the Nats is a team, clearly you're sort of bouncing around with a wild card, second wild card. They host the Nats in like the second to last week of the season at Busch. You've got some games there.
You got Cubs, wait, too.
Certainly Cubs. You have seven of your last 10 with the Cubs. Bunch of Brewer games in there. I know Hoff has them losing every game in September. Cardinals.com. But there is a series. It's sort of fascinating the way it plays out. You just happen to have the Nationals here late in the season. I think it's your last 13 games or something. They're part of that mix there. So
you're starting on September 13th as we get Douglas on the line.
And then it's Yanni Bamba at night.
Then you go.
Back-to-back three-game sets at home against Milwaukee and Washington, at the Cubs for four, at Arizona for three, and then home against the Cubs for three.
And by the way, Cody Bellinger was a fourth-round draft pick. So almost. You could have had him. Somebody could add him.
He already had Bader.
In the first or second.
Yeah, Bader. Where are you going to put him?
I thought of you guys, sarcastic Twitter people.
I hope.
Because of the Bader thing where it said the king is here, which is not his fault.
Which was funny.
Somebody should not have tweeted that. But Mizzou did send out a picture the other day of Barry Odom and Konzo Martin, and it said, name a more iconic duo.
Mizzou's going Fournette.
And I'm like, you probably shouldn't say it. And somebody on the reply line said, how about Norm Stewart and Gary Pinkle? And I thought, oh, okay, well. But it's not their fault. Every once in a while, there's the young person on Twitter that maybe shouldn't hit send.
You know, Odom was not in this studio, but he was in our St. Charles studio a year or so, or maybe 2 years ago. And I guess maybe it's the angle of the photo, or I don't know. Konzo towers over him.
Well, you're talking 6'6" to 5'10".
But I didn't think Odom was that. Is he 5'10"? Yeah, I would not have guessed that short.
I mean, maybe 6 feet, but okay. I think he's so bulky that sometimes
maybe that's it. Yeah, he's not a real tall guy, but Konzo would tower.
Konzo looks like a giant next to him.
Well, he is pretty big.
Yeah. All right, a couple of business items. Maryville University students receive an extraordinary level of academic, personal, and career support, beginning with their first steps and transition from high school to college. Maryville.edu. McBride's one of our great sponsors. I just encourage you to go to the Arbors of Frontenac, the new McBride community, the Arbors of Frontenac. 31 luxury villas located off Clayton Road, just east of Spady, a prime Frontenac location, and luxury quality homes with great value make this a community, one that buyers just don't want to miss. Outstanding value. Martin and I were there the other day. Aaron Hankins does an unbelievable job promoting McBride, and they are just outstanding. And the Gatesworth, finest in senior living, looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa. We recommend the Gatesworth 170 in Del Mar. The answer is always yes when you call down to the front desk. The food is outstanding. So many activities. The Gatesworth. We'll take a short time out. We'll be right back.